When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everyone. It's Kurt Fletcher, host of In the Rye Podcast with Kurt Fletcher. I've been a professional stand-up comedian for several years, and I've met a lot of great people throughout my career. So I decided to start a podcast to talk to some of those people and share our stories in the entertainment industry. Go to InTheRyePodcast.com for more information.
This is Dos Pequeños,
a funnier look at the paranormal in New Mexico.
With your co-hosts, Eric Carter-Landine
and Alex.
What's up, Alex?
Not much, my man. How you doing?
I'm good. I just got back from the business trip from hell.
He's dancing, though.
Yeah, I am. I'm glad to be home, dude. I didn't get home till midnight last night.
Yeah, you sound like you had, like, nightmare Denver airport scenarios.
It was pretty horrible. I was stuck there forever. Oh, and they started embracing the whole conspiracy theory.
They did.
So they have all this like graphic stuff because they're doing construction, right? And they've got like aliens, and it's like, you've heard the conspiracies, see what's real at DIA, or you know, something stupid like that. But they have like, you know, Illuminati imagery.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like they've like totally embraced it. They have like the demonic Bronco thing.
That thing is kind of scary.
It is creepy. Did you know that the artist who made it was killed by it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
What, I mean, did it fall on him?
Yeah.
I guess it's
it fell on him.
Yeah, some of the murals there, you know, like show crazy apocalyptic scenarios.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be like tiles on the floor that like hint to like tunnels or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
It's spooky, ookie, ookie. So, dude, it is my motherfucking turn to tell you some shit about stuff.
I know. I was talking to someone about it today. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing a show about today, and that's really exciting.
It is exciting, right?
Yeah.
Before we get into that, we've got to talk about just different things. So, you know, Patreon, patreon.com/dospequeños. If you want to support us, you can also buy us a coffee at ko-fi/dospequeños. Go to our social medias and give us your best ghost story, your best old hag story, whatever you have. We want it. We want to do another Tiny Terror.
Yeah.
And we haven't done one.
We haven't done one this year, right?
No. We need more information from you folks. And also tell your friends about this show, because we need more listeners. And we feel like you should be telling people.
Yeah.
Why aren't you telling people about us?
Just walk around and poke people and say, hey, have you heard of Dos Pequeños?
Yeah, exactly. But thank you for being our listeners and being so supportive of us, and for dealing with us completely flipping the script on the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, cheers.
So having said that, anything else we need to add to that?
I look forward to fall shows, because I know I'm trying to work out some details on some things. I wanted to go to Maine.
We're going to.
No, they're not doing tours right now.
God damn it.
Yeah, they're not doing tours right now.
Sorry, so, Lydia.
We got to figure out something else, man. So I was looking at a couple of things, and we'll talk about it off the air.
Okay.
All right, Eric, I got to tell you a story real quick. Hold on.
Okay.
I had a bit of sleep paralysis.
No way.
Yeah, I really did. Okay. And let me describe to you what happened.
Okay.
So I'm laying in bed watching a scary movie, because that's what I do every night. It's comfort for me, you know.
It's like me with my true crime stories.
And the way you said that shit, you know, like testicles. Okay. And I was laying there and I'm a side sleeper.
Same.
Or on my belly.
Same.
But I'm always facing the door no matter what. Like I always face the door. I don't face the window in my room.
Tell me you have anxiety without telling me you have anxiety.
Is that a thing? Is that really a sign of anxiety? I mean, I have anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're like, you want to know what the fuck's coming just in case.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's mental totally preparedness. I totally
understand, yeah.
And I'm watching some shit movie, like, because that's what I prefer at night, like a B movie, a real shit scary movie.
Okay.
Something I'm not really that interested in, and
so you can sleep during it, you won't feel bad about it.
Yeah, the screams of, you know, the horror movie lull me to sleep. Okay. And a
sociopath says what?
I'm sitting there on my side, and I'm not on my pillow, but I'm kind of like resting on my fist.
Okay.
You know, like you can see it visually what I'm doing. Yeah. They kind of at home.
But you're using your hand to prop your
like
head.
Like a kickstand.
Yeah. For your head.
For my big ass head. And I'm awake.
Okay.
But all of a sudden I see through my doorway, someone kind of lean to look at me.
Oh my God.
Lean to look at me. And it was a tall, bald figure with red eyes, and it would like smile at me and stare and stare and stare and then back up out of frame in the doorway. And that happened twice, no, maybe three times. And I remember thinking, holy shit. That's all I remember thinking was like, oh my God, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I just got up and went and used the restroom and then laid back down and was like, oh my God, did that just fucking happen? It wasn't like it was I couldn't move. And I almost felt like if I moved that it would do something.
Yeah.
And so I kept really fucking still and just stared at it. And I felt like I couldn't blink. I couldn't react. I couldn't react other than going, oh shit. And then all of a sudden it was like click, it was over.
Wow.
So I wanted to share that with you and our listeners because I talked about that and how I had sleep paralysis
in the past,
yeah. But I mean, one time, and that was way more scary. For some reason, when this was happening to me this time, I wasn't. It was almost like fascination.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, what is that? You know, what? Holy shit. There's some guy with red eyes and bald head looking at me right now.
So it didn't feel menacing to you?
No, no, it was menacing. But at the same time, I always felt like I knew it. It wasn't real, or it was like, I knew that it was sleep paralysis. I could almost recognize it. I don't know. It was a very confusing situation for me. I really hope that you get to experience it at some point, man, because it's a very weird feeling.
I like want to, but don't want to.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, you want to experience it just to say that you have.
But I don't want to experience it.
But you don't actually want
to. Shit out of me. Yeah.
And I'm curious to how many of our listeners at home have dealt with, you know, sleep paralysis before, or maybe you didn't think it was sleep paralysis. Maybe you felt like it was something else. Maybe it was that old hag or sitting on your chest. Yeah. Or the tall man, you know, tall man with the hat. This was like the tall man with the hat without the hat.
Do you think that he's really like bald and that's why he wears the hat?
It's a self-confidence issue.
Right.
You know,
that's why I wear a hat.
You know what that was crazy though? I don't know if I mentioned this. The person, the guy with the red eyes, had a crazy fucking smile.
You did say he smiled at you.
Okay, it was, I'm not joking. It wasn't a normal like human smile. It was like a Cheshire cat smile. It was like, it went
like up to his,
way far, like up to his eyes almost.
But that's what people talk about too in the
yeah. So maybe, you know, after all the shit talking I did after that episode, and if you haven't listened to that episode, I suggest you go listen to that episode,
that was a good
The
episode.
Hat Man, because it was a really good episode. And the weird coincidences that this hat man has with people. And so I do kind of believe I might have seen a version of the hat man this time, when before I had seen, what I thought was aliens.
Right.
At that point.
It was the twins, right?
It was like, yeah, those two weird gray see-through creatures.
Yeah.
But this one was, you know what's funny is I couldn't see. He was like he was a shadow, but you could see the eyes and his smile, and that was it. And I remember thinking in the situation, I'm kind of flashing back on it, is that he's way closer than I want him to be.
Oh.
You know, when he was leaning his head through the doorway like that, he didn't come into the room, but he was definitely in the doorway.
Dude, I'm spooked out now. I'm kind of spooked out right now.
The mind's a funny place.
Oh, man. That's creeping me out. Okay, on that note,
let's talk about the story.
Okay, all right, bye. All right, are you ready for this shit?
I am, man.
Okay. So this is going to get really philosophical, and I'm not going to let you know right away what's happening.
Okay.
I want you to kind of guess.
Okay.
All right. So, oh my God, can you imagine how tiresome the psychological breakdown of war must be on a person?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The exhaustion, I mean, it's got to be brutal, right? Like,
right.
You just can't even deal with it. The degradation of mental well-being, especially when your safety has been breached. It's just something that we've talked about, not on this show, but as a society for ages.
Yeah.
Right? So whether directly or indirectly in pop culture, academia, or in just everyday conversation, people are obsessed with war and the consequences of war as a child.
What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, it's copyright. We got it.
That's fine. It's a cover. We're a cover band.
We sang it off tune, so it doesn't count.
And offbeat.
It doesn't count.
But honestly, war has always been a part of society. It's always been a conversation. So I want you to picture this, okay? You're asleep in your house, and you start to hear what you think could be fireworks, or maybe lots of lights are in the sky, and people start waking up. They're like, what the fuck's going on? Okay. This happens in a town that recently had seen the opening of a union station and a big airport. Sirens are bringing people out of their houses, and they start to see missiles shooting in the sky. Children are crying. Adults are fearing for their family's well-being. Rumors are going crazy everywhere.
Rumors. Okay.
It's like Fleetwood Mac. Post-breakup album. Yeah. What the fuck was that?
What?
Was it airplanes?
Oh. I thought it was like, what? What?
was it
airplanes?
Was it nothing?
Was it
UFOs? Some of them UFOs everyone's been buzzing about?
Was it rednecks with fireworks?
Was it a strong breeze? Or was it the military? What happened? So this event in American history is, quote, the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination, an area which we will call, well, I'll let you figure that out in a minute. Was that a quote from The Twilight Zone? Maybe. Okay, it was. But this event in history certainly calls for that kind of level of drama.
Okay.
All right. Do you have a guess yet?
I kind of do have
a guess. Okay, hold on.
Don't
do it yet. This event has everything, and it pulls many themes out of the top hat of Merca.
Merca.
Themes such as fear, anxiety, mania, rumors, xenophobia, just for the fuck of it.
Okay.
And ghost porn.
Ghost porn.
Just kidding. Not ghost porn. But it does have a little bit of everything. And that's basically my point. So, Alex, any fucking clue what I'm talking about?
Okay. I do have a guess.
Okay.
But it's only based on a couple of photos I've seen.
Okay.
All right. But it's like the Battle of Los Angeles.
That is correct.
Am I correct?
That's correct.
Damn. He's good.
It's a good one, right? I'm excited about this. So I'm, of course, talking about the Battle of Los Angeles, and I'm not talking about that Bill and Ted movie where the Wild Stallions win the Battle of the Bands. You wish. You're not that lucky, Alex.
Oh, I do wish.
Wild Stallions.
Wasn't that a Rage Against the Machine album, too?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
But I do love me some Bill and Ted.
I do, too. Did you like the new one?
I didn't watch the new one.
Ah, it's garbage.
I heard it was garbage. That's why
so
I didn't
weird.
Watch it.
It's so weird.
I don't want it to, taint my memories of Bill and Ted.
Right? Taint.
Taint. You know, I had to explain that to some of my UK friends.
What a taint is?
Yeah.
Were you on Zoom? Because like, it's here. This is it. Oh, God damn it.
The tale of the Battle of Los Angeles, known as the Great Los Angeles Air Raid, took place on the 24th and 25th of February in 1942. And before you ask, no, this isn't about our lack of content on OnlyFans. This was a legit crazy-ass event that shook the residents of LA to their core. And there was an attempt to make a movie about it in 2011, but it does not come close to what really happened on that late winter evening.
I feel like maybe I saw it and I was not impressed.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Me either.
Who was in that one?
Michelle Rodriguez and some other person.
Of course she was. She's in all those kind of movies.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So before we get too far into this, can we talk about how crazy all the UFO related shit seemed to be? And like how super out of control it was in the 40s.
Oh, yeah.
Like people would just find garbage and be like, yep, must be aliens from outer space.
Flour, scotch tape.
Balsa wood.
Balsa wood and flour, scotch tape.
Okay, back to the story. So in different times in history, similar to this, it's extremely important to cover a little bit of the backstory, I think. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In this case, a lot can be revealed about the mindset of everyone involved in the Battle of L.A. So just a few months before this happened, the Japanese Navy attacked the U.S. at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii on December 7th, 1941. The attack came from all directions. There was no inkling as to which side we should aim our fire. A two-hour attack, multiple waves of Japanese planes targeted major military installations, including airstrips, ships, buildings, storage areas, and the attack began at 7:55 on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
The Japanese military force assembled for the attack, and it was stupendously horrific.
Yeah.
The mere thought of the following coming at you from all sides could really, like, fuck with your brain, right?
Yeah.
65 ships, including 4 heavy aircraft carriers, 35 submarines, 11 destroyers, 353 aircraft, 40 torpedo planes, 103 level bombers, 131 dive bombers, and 79 fighters. Like, that is a fucking massive amount of firepower.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, just like...
It was just surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Got us.
Attacked with the purpose of crippling the U.S. Navy and military infrastructure, Japan also knew that their forces depended on the U.S. for their supply of natural and industrial resources.
Oil. Right. Weird.
Merca. Oil.
Well, you mean oil's behind all this?
Weird. Who would have thought that America would be in a war involving oil?
Nah.
Without it, the Japanese Navy would be impaired. No oil equals no movement. No movement means no victory. You have to say it like that or not.
You don't have to.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Japan knew that they would need to obtain these resources elsewhere, so they targeted Southeast Asia. And they knew that this invasion would lead to war with the U.S., but they were like, fuck you guys. We want some oil.
Oil's better than that, so right. No.
Right. So they carried out a plan to destroy America's Pacific fleet and keep them from interfering with their plan. So probably not the best idea, right?
I mean, the outcome wasn't too great for them.
It didn't work out for them. Yeah.
It didn't really work out for them.
They totally underestimated America and what we were capable of. 21 ships were considered damaged or sunk, but 9 of them were still able to float and were either quickly repaired for frontline duty or they were sent to the West Coast for repairs. And another 12 were sunk and some declared a total loss. But before the war was over, 7 of those ships would see combat.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool.
Yeah. So psychology played into this attack big time. Like the American people freaked out. This was the first like major attack on U.S. soil. And there was a lot of things that could have been done differently to possibly prevent the 2,400 deaths and 1,100 wounded. Commanders might have been in denial about the possibility of an attack on U.S. soil.
I also heard they kind of like weren't paying attention to the radar, or they were, but they were ignoring things on radar.
Mm-hmm.
And
interesting.
They don't do that anymore now.
Hopefully.
Hopefully not.
But like,
when you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com, code program.
They probably felt like most of us probably still feel, who in their right mind would attack this country on its home turf? Yes, that happened.
It's pretty ballsy.
It's ballsy.
It's a ballsy move.
And it's shocking when it happens, mm-hmm. because we don't expect it here.
Well, and it's, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, think about 9/11.
I was just thinking that effect where we're like, shocked.
What the fuck is happening? Yeah. Yeah. So definitely a huge moment in history.
Right. Well, that's the only way they can attack us, right? Because if they were to give us any preemptive, we would just be like,
boom. Yeah. Dead, yeah. So the Japanese would and did attack us, and the nation was totally freaking out. The American public filled their days, airwaves, TV stations with outrage, paranoia, and just being generally pissed off.
Yeah.
The West Coast led the charge on this because if Hawaii could be attacked, obviously the West Coast could be attacked. So a bunch of things started to happen after Pearl Harbor. People living in Juneau, Alaska were told to cover their windows nightly for blackouts.
Wow.
As there were rumors spreading that Japanese submarines were hanging out in their area.
Oh, wow.
Schools in Oakland closed after rumors circulated that a Japanese aircraft carrier was off the coast of San Francisco. They imposed a forced blackout of all buildings and vehicles. Owners who left lights on in their buildings had their businesses smashed by a mob of 2,000 residents. You just have that in your back pocket, just 2,000 pissed off people. Go over there! And 500 U.S. Army troops moved into Disney Studios lot in Burbank, California to defend the famed Hollywood facility against sabotage or air attacks.
No way, really?
Because, you know,
Disney.
Japan's out to get Mickey and Minnie. Yeah. Like, fuck those mice.
Well, at that point, though, if you think about it, that was
like American propaganda. Yeah,
yeah. No, absolutely. You know, even Dr. Seuss was writing anti-propaganda stuff for mm-hmm. the war effort. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Wasn't he problematic?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I thought so.
Aren't we all a little problematic?
I'm not. I'm pure and innocent. Throughout the country, the United States installed anti-air.
Did you guys like that joke, pure and innocent? Do you get it?
That's the title of my sex tape.
that's the OnlyFans episode one. Kai's like, what's an OnlyFans?
No, here he
knows. He knows. I know.
He's going to be 16.
Yeah, right.
throughout the country, the U.S. installed anti-aircraft guns, bunkers, and started doing raid drills with a bunch of people.
All on the coast.
Yeah. Sounds a bit like an over-exaggeration. However, at the same time, Japan was attacking American merchant ships off the West Coast. From December 1941 to February 1942, Japan attacked, sank, and damaged 14 ships.
Damn.
So this is all building, right? We're building towards the everyone freak out, man.
Everyone panic. Well, there was panic at that point.
Yeah, it was just a constant.
That's
state.
Never really happened like to America like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think. Not that kind of attack on American soil.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I think we were all on edge after 9/11, right? We were all like,
oh, fuck yeah. I remember I was working in a certain establishment downtown mm-hmm. that was a large building. And I was like, do I even have work tonight? Like, what's going to happen? Yeah. I mean,
nobody was there.
Well, that restaurant and that hotel were super dead for the next like 6 to 8 months almost.
Well, people stopped traveling.
Yeah. No one was flying anywhere. No one was.
I mean, even Corona didn't stop travel like this did. Not like this.
Not as of late. Did you see Lollapalooza?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was in the Denver airport yesterday. I saw what was going on.
Was there a lot of people there too?
A ton of people, dude.
Well, I heard that Spirit. Like all the flight attendants went on, they went on strike or something. So, and good for them, you know, like sometimes you got
to
do that.
I just think Spirit needs to go away.
They have that drink, the ball,
the booze ball,
the booze ball, buzz ball,
buzz ball. Okay.
Anyway.
So around this time, Franklin D. Roosevelt enjoyed having fireside chats via radio transmission with the public. And during his fireside chat on February 23rd, 1942, a submarine surfaced near Santa Barbara, California, and attacked Elwood Oil Field in Goleta.
No shit.
Uh-huh. Damage for this wasn't extravagant, and they missed a good chunk of what they were aiming for, but the psychological damage of the attack on the west coast of the U.S., of Merca.
Like they were just waiting for it. It was just too much. Yeah.
Now we're like freaking the fuck out because it's like literally happening, right? it's not like a...
And you don't even know where it's coming from. And that's what's scariest, I think, is that it could be from the sky, from the water, from...
Anywhere.
Yeah.
And I feel like at this point, America is like a preteen that can't... She's like, I can't even, you guys. I can't even with Japan right now. That's what was happening.
Because I don't... Yeah, you're right. I don't think the next thing happened again until... Patrick Swayze fought off the Russians in Red Dawn, you know? That was like the next time we had gotten attacked.
Rest in peace, Patrick.
Thank God Patrick was there.
Yeah.
Mr. Swayze himself to fucking Wolverine kick them in the neck.
What is happening?
I don't know.
Okay.
Did I ADD on us?
A little bit. A little bit. That's okay.
That was in the 80s, so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Fuck.
The mindset in America was that the Japanese Navy would storm the beaches of California at any time. And the fear was real.
Yeah.
Now,
that's... But it wasn't unfounded either, so...
Right. But that's the funny thing about fear and stress and anxiety. In the short term, it can be extremely helpful because... Sorry. Because it can trigger your fight or flight, right?
Right, right.
But long term, it's not good for you. So, the University of Minnesota...
Minnesota.
Hey.
Shout out to our Minnesota listeners.
University of Minnesota says that fear is triggered by a perceived threat. So in this case, perceived is the key word. It doesn't have to be a legitimate threat, simply believed to be legitimate. And it's helpful unless you're living in a constant state of fear.
Right.
And it will impact all aspects of your life in a negative way. And at times it can lead to complete incapacitation. By the way, you still owe us a story about...
Oh my God, my sleep paralysis.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we'll do that in a minute, and then we're going to add it to the beginning.
Okay.
Okay. So I promise that this all plays a part in the story. It sounds like a nightmare where you wake up in anatomy and physiology class, but just like, just stay with me, all right? Some of the biggest impacts constant fear has on the body is it affects your physical health, your memory, your brain processing and reactivity, and your mental health overall.
Yeah, like your immune system too, I imagine. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's your health. Yeah.
Memory can be impacted in the form of the function of the brain to create long-term memories and make it even more difficult to regulate fear. Fear can also interrupt processes that allow us to regulate our emotions, read information presented to us, or reflect before acting. And finally, our mental health deteriorates into the form of fatigue, clinical depression, and PTSD.
Same.
That's my everyday. Okay, so we've got all that backstory. So after December 7th, people on the West Coast were just freaking out. And from that time until February, attacks on merchant ships were continuing to happen on the West Coast. And then again on February 23rd, there was the Elwood oil field attack, which totally just sent everybody over the edge. So the next day, on the 24th, everyone's already like stressed out and freaked out. They were just living in that constant state of fear. They were afraid of losing their lives. They were afraid for their families. And really, the whole country was kind of in that same space. So... That was like the history lesson to get you prepared for what happened on this night. Sorry for the slow burn, everybody. Sorry for the history lesson. But I feel like it was really important for us to talk about that before we get into this. Because
you want to understand it otherwise.
Yeah. And I think that if you approach it from like looking at it from today's lens, it's easy to see it for something that it isn't.
Right, right, right.
God, I sound like you. Jesus.
What do you mean?
Like skeptical.
Oh, I'm rubbing off on you, aren't
you
I?
You are.
I'm totally fucking off on you.
Okay, so February 24th, 1942, the Office of Naval Intelligence. What?
That's funny.
Issued a warning that there was going to be an attack on mainland California within the next 10 hours. I can't even imagine, like, hearing that.
No.
What are you going to do?
No. It's like those people that have hacked the warning systems to, like, they did it in Hawaii.
Right.
Where they, like, sent everyone a text that a nuclear warhead was coming their way.
Right.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. So this would be a kind of like a, we're going to role play for a second.
Oh.
Super kinky.
Oh.
Come in, California. Come in.
This is California.
An attack is coming your way.
When?
Sometime in the next 10 hours.
Can you be more specific?
Yeah, nope, can't be more specific. Within 10 hours. Yeah.
Thanks.
And also, we don't know exactly where. So
yeah, California's long. West part?
No, well, just West Coast. Could be California. Could be Oregon.
Could be Washington. Washington.
Could be Alaska. We don't know.
Did you call them?
No.
Maybe you should.
Yeah. Well, sorry. California. Hello. Hello. Oh, so they're already on alert. Reports start coming in describing flares, blinking lights around defense plants. An alert was called at 7:18 p.m., but then was lifted at 10:23 p.m. Mm. So, in other words, everyone's freaking out. Calm the fuck down, California. It's going to be all right. But early in the morning, satellites picked up an object, an unidentified object 120 miles west of L.A., so keep in mind, we have anti-aircraft batteries up and down the West Coast. Everyone's stressed the fuck out and probably not sleeping. But not only that, the batteries were alerted around 2:21 a.m. on February 25th. So these people are stressed out.
When you say batteries, what do you mean?
They're like the things you sit on where you shoot.
Oh, okay. Anti-aircraft. Okay, anti-aircraft guns. Okay.
Yeah. So they're sitting on these anti-aircraft guns. And these are the soldiers that were given green alert, which is like, be ready to fucking fire. So they're there. They're
okay,
ready.
Okay.
And now they're ready to shoot off at any time. The U.S. Army Air Forces kept their planes on the ground. So they're like, nah, not until we know for sure. We're going to just stay here. But they waited for scale and direction before committing any of their force, which is probably a good idea.
That's probably smart. You don't want to be too... Hair trigger happy.
Hair lip.
What?
So, all right. So back to the timeline. 2:21 in the morning, an unidentified object is caught on the radar, and the regional controller orders a blackout, which freaks everyone the fuck out. Okay. So mass hysteria is typically referred to when speaking about an illness shared by many. However, when it comes to sociology or psychology, mass hysteria is a phenomenon that transmits collective illusions of threats, whether real or imagined, through a population and society as a result of rumors and fear.
Wow, I feel like America's done that quite a bit.
Right. So we've got rumors. We've got rumors.
Check.
We got fear.
Check.
Okay. Once the blackout was ordered, reports came rolling in about enemy planes being seen. While these reports came flowing in, the object being tracked on radar disappeared.
Fantastic news.
At 2:43 a.m., planes were reported again near Long Beach. From there, a Seacoast artillery colonel spotted 25 planes at 12,000 feet over L.A.
25 planes?
I don't know how he saw that, because everything was dark.
Radar?
No. Seacoast artillery.
Oh.
He's just like chilling in the ocean.
I mean.
Or on the coast.
Did he sit there and go, 1, 2, 3,
exactly, 4, exactly. 5. Around 3:06, a balloon carrying a red flare was seen over Santa Monica, and at this point,
why?
People start freaking out.
Ah, fucking balloons!
God damn it!
They're here! They came by hot air balloon.
So just to recap for everybody, we have Pearl Harbor, we have constant attacks near the West Coast, and then we have rumors that the Japanese are nearby, and then we have the warning of the attack in the next 10 hours. Okay? We also have a blackout that was ordered and then lifted. We also have a green alert allowing anyone to fire at any point if they feel like they're under attack.
Wow. Anyone?
And now we have a flare going up into the atmosphere when everyone's all freaked out.
Yeah.
Okay? Not the best idea.
And balloons.
So what happens? 4 of the anti-aircraft artillery start shooting the fuck out of shit.
Yeah. And that's the picture I was referring to, correct?
With all the light.
With the spotlights on it.
Yep. They have a spotlight on this. Okay, so for 58 minutes, artillery volleyed ammunition. 1,440 rounds of ammunition had been shot up to the sky, which is about 25 rounds per minute for 58 minutes. It's basically just like fucking freaking out. Over the top and not necessary, right?
For 58, almost an hour. You would think at some point, like 25 minutes in, they're like, is anything happening? Is anybody hitting anything?
No, anybody there?
Are these bullets working? No, go for 45 more minutes.
We're not done yet. But just like I said before, it was a perfect storm, which led to some itchy trigger fingers.
Yeah.
The U.S. Office of Air Force History would like you to think it was war nerves, probably caused by the sighting of a lost weather balloon. Of course, this report didn't come out until 1983. So 4 decades later. They also passed.
Isn't that always their excuse?
Yes,
it's a fucking weather balloon
every time.
Why is that? I mean, how many weather balloons are going up right now?
Yeah.
Right? Is that really that common of a? I guess maybe it is. I don't know.
It's common, but.
But they don't look like. Why would you shoot at a weather balloon?
And yeah, and some of the photos that you see from the Battle of LA, it obviously could.
You don't really see anything. Could though, be docked. Right?
Well, there's some where they try to like. They try to like take out the negative space to show you like. Yeah.
Of course they would.
Right? And it does look like a flying saucer
thing.
Okay. But I feel like that's highly edited.
We should post those pictures for everyone so they can they can make their own judgments.
Well, I watched this whole like thing on the History Channel about this, and they found the original photo, and there's no way that that is what.
Right.
It was doctored.
So I just don't trust motherfuckers, man.
Yeah.
They got computers now.
Yeah. But even before computers, they were still doctoring.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, right.
So, honestly, like, they also thought that maybe there was a transformer that blew up at the San Pedro Water and Power, which caused the sirens to go off and people to start freaking out. But honestly, if that was the case, like, calm down.
Right.
You know? There were so many reports, and many people believed that they had seen something, quote, something, which ranged from hundreds of Japanese planes to blimps to flying saucers.
Yeah, whatever happened to the 25 planes homeboy saw?
Right.
You know?
Nobody seemed to be able to confirm or settle upon what actually was up there, if anything.
Okay.
And it was kind of cloudy,
too. It was a cloud?
Could have been a cloud. Back in 1942, not even the government or military officials could agree on what happened, which led to more speculation, and you would think that, like, they would have a meeting to kind of like, hey, let's figure this out. Let's talk about it.
Let's sit and chat about it.
What did you see, bro?
A balloon. And you saw planes.
Okay, great.
And you didn't see anything?
Was anybody taking LSD at the time? No? Just checking.
You know, I heard, though, that a lot of the witnesses to this really believed that it wasn't anything that they'd seen before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and my thing is, there's that many people that are saying so. Why are they saying so? Are they just kind of like pumping up the hype about something? Maybe?
Is it mass hysteria?
You know, is it mass hysteria? Is it? Yeah. Like you said, like that's basically, you know, where people see unknown threats basically because of just, you know, groupthink.
Right.
And it's a very interesting case.
It is. You know, I think if you look at the surface of it, it's easy to convince yourself that it could be extraterrestrial.
Right.
And I'm not saying that it isn't, but I feel like the proof is more leaning towards mass hysteria, exhaustion, stress, and fear because of what was happening.
Right.
Had this happened outside of Pearl Harbor, had this happened like 15 years in the future and the war's over, maybe I would have thought, okay, it's possible it could have been something extraterrestrial.
Right. Okay, so when they were shooting for 58 minutes, were they shooting in the same spot? Because that's kind of what it looks like. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were really like, it was, they, was it a moving object? Because 25 planes are going to be moving. You know, there's no video of it. There's only pictures of it.
Yeah. And you see the searchlights all in
just all spot. In one spot where yeah. all the tracer rounds, and you can yeah. see the rounds going to that one spot.
Yeah.
Maybe this is why aliens haven't come back. We were like,
we shot the fuck out of them.
We shot the fuck out of them. And we're like, man, screw those
fuck
guys.
Fuck those guys. Those
we
guys
were down there to give them help and this and that.
Bring some beer, yeah, party with them.
Show them the key to everlasting youth. I don't know.
Oh, my God. All right. So they didn't come together. They didn't have a meeting to talk about it. They just kind of left it alone like they always do and probably classified everything and called it a day.
Yeah, they're probably sweet. Let's sweep this under the rug.
Right. And of course, you know, the upper echelons of the military swore up and down that there were enemy planes overhead at night.
Nice word. Echelon. Thanks. Look at you.
Thanks.
Mr. Lexicon over here.
But there were enough other people that claimed it was a false alarm. So just because they're saying it doesn't mean that that's necessarily true.
Right.
There weren't any bombs dropped. There were no dive bombs, and there was certainly nothing resembling Pearl Harbor. So if they were enemy planes,
why did they do anything?
Right. And if they shot at it, where did the plane land?
Well, yeah, they would have had to take something down within an hour and that
people
many
would have
rounds.
Seen that, right?
Yeah. It was, I mean, almost pretty much in the middle of L.A. when this was happening.
And everybody was outside of their house watching all yeah. the shit go down, because that's what you do whenever you think you're under attack, is you stand outside so that the enemy can see you.
Yeah. And nowadays they'd be out there with their phones going World Star, you know?
Yeah, they're on TikTok Live. Hey, it's your boy Eric. Don't forget to smash that like and subscribe
smash that
button.
Like button. Comment down below what the hell you think's happening. Wait, didn't we already do that? We kind of said that. In so many words, we did.
Probably.
Anyway.
Oh, my God. Okay, so there were a lot of people who held strong to the theory that there were enemy planes. I believe that the planes originated either from secret airfields in California or maybe Mexico, or were lightweight planes that could have launched from submarines off the coast.
Is that a thing?
Apparently that's a thing. I don't know. That's what people thought.
Wow. Okay.
I've never seen that or heard
no,
of that.
No, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
I did not realize that at that time there was actually attacks happening on the West Coast. I didn't realize that was actually going on at this
the
point.
The more you know.
Dun, 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 dun.
And learning is half the battle.
Go Joe.
Go Joe. At the end of the artillery fire, there was a lot of damage from falling shell fragments. In fact, 5 civilians died. Why are you laughing? 5 people died.
Because they were going ape shit. They were just... How the fuck did they kill 5 people, man?
Alex's laughter does not reflect the views of Los Pequeños or True Consequences.
I'm sorry. How do you... Okay, you're aiming at the sky. You're shooting at something else. Yeah. How do 5 other people die?
From the artillery shells falling from the sky.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah. Yeah, what must come up has to come down.
Yeah.
Did they not fucking think of this?
No. They're freaking out.
You got to worry about that in Albuquerque on New Year's.
On the 4th of July, yeah.
On New Year's.
Dude, there's a hole in my skylight from a bullet.
Oh, that's right. You do have one.
Yeah, and yeah. I have a bullet shell from it.
Barquinhos, calm down.
Thank God that didn't hit anybody in my family. All right, so 5 people died. They weren't directly connected to the barrage of military might, but there was some heart attacks as well. And
oh, shit.
There were even car accidents as well.
Sorry. Everyone's just going, you know why? Because it was blackout and no one could see where they were driving.
Right, right.
Right? I mean, yeah. Because you couldn't even have your lights on at that moment.
Or they were drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ultimate question, though, is,
ooh,
was there fucking anything in the sky that night?
You know, I kind of feel like there had to have been.
Something.
There had to have been something. Like something triggered. What I think happened is someone was like, ah, and some one person started shooting. In a certain direction. Mm-hmm. And then everyone else got triggered to just do the same thing.
Well, everyone's already
shoot
on green
right
alert.
There. Put the you know, the spotlights there. Everyone shoot there. Timmy at fucking gun 1 said he saw something. And yeah. They all just joined right in. And they were like, I think it's still there. I don't know. Just keep shooting. Fuck, keep shooting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think you're going to be under attack, that would probably be the reaction that you would want to have.
Shoot until the threat's gone.
Right.
You know, but so that kind of makes you wonder, well, I mean, maybe there was.
A lot of people thought it was an alien spaceship.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought that.
Right.
Most of the eyewitnesses
They would go to L.A., right?
And I think the weird thing, though, Alex, is there was something on radar.
But it disappeared,
and it disappeared.
Now, did this happen before they started blasting?
Yes.
Okay, so they saw it on radar. Did they have any description how big the object could have been?
There's no information on that. It's probably classified.
It should be open now, right?
I don't know.
What is that? The Fair Acts, or I don't know what the fuck it's called. Fair play.
Go away.
Anyway.
Freedom of Information Act?
Thank you. Freedom of Information Act.
Good talk.
Thanks. Thanks for joining my TED Talk.
According to the story put forth by some observers, there was a large disc-shaped object that made its way from Culver City over Santa Monica past Long Beach, where it suddenly disappeared. Because, of course, it disappeared.
Yeah.
Some stories say that there was even a few of them flying around in the sky. These people believe that the lights were trained on the flying saucers, and that is what the artillery fired on.
Hmm.
Totally fascinating. It's the basis of the story, and observations came from a provocative photo that was published in the Los Angeles Times. The photo, though, today would not have made it to publication for a number of reasons. Ufologists claim that this is pure and validated evidence that there was a spacecraft that flew over and was shot at to no effect and then disappeared. But the picture, which we're going to put on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
does seem to focus on a blob of sorts. But the problem is it was retouched, which is what I was telling you before.
Yeah, they adjusted the contrast of it and the lighting and mm-hmm. focused in on certain areas to see what they needed to see.
The searchlights in the picture had white paint used on them in order to lighten them. And the bottom part of the image was painted black. So they're painting the photo.
Painting the photo.
So the blob in
the original
is much less visible.
The original Photoshop.
Yeah, than the one that was published in the LA Times.
Okay.
So that was what I was telling you about. Like, right, there's a huge difference between
them. Well, they kind of had to do that back then, too, for quality photos in newspapers, right?
True, but...
But, yeah, it's hard to consider it real evidence if it's painted on.
Yeah. Like, if we took that original photo and we ran it through some, like, retouch software, that might be a little bit more believable. A little bit, not a lot more, but like a little bit more
than a paintbrush.
Because then you're like, you can invent
mm-hmm.
things
mm-hmm.
when you're painting.
Yeah, you can help embellish the story.
Yeah.
And sell more papers.
Exactly. But if you did like an auto retouch on it and you saw something there, then I would be a little bit more inclined to believe you. Did the retouch enhance what was already there?
Mm.
Or did it place something there that wasn't? And then combined with the stories and the mass hysteria... Maybe we created a self-fulfilling prophecy situation here, right? So some of these stories include a woman named Katie, who was living in Santa Monica, claimed to see a gigantic pale object hovering over her house. She also claimed the military sent fighter planes after it, which was not true. There were no planes.
Okay.
Chief of Police of Long Beach, J.H. McClelland, because that's what people were called back then.
I'm J.H. McClelland.
J.H. McClelland. He was located on top of the Civic Center in Long Beach and said that he saw planes coming inbound towards Redondo Beach.
And what was he doing up there?
Peter Jenkins, staff reporter from the Herald Examiner, said he could see a V formation of 25 silver planes flying to Long Beach.
Mm.
So again, 25 planes.
25 planes. So once again...
25 planes.
One, two,
three, four, five, six, seven. In a V formation. Okay.
Okay.
Some folks said the figures in the sky were flying quickly. Some said slowly. Some said they were shiny. Some said they weren't. Some said there were a few. Some said there were hundreds. So...
Hundreds. Okay.
So, again, how do you know what's real when everyone's saying all kind of different shit?
Right.
There was one final thought in terms of what happened. And it had a supposed quote from someone who was in the army. And it read like this. Quote... Early in the war, things were pretty scary, and the Army was setting up coastal defenses at one of the new radar stations near Santa Monica. The crew tried in vain to arrange for some planes to fly by so that they could test the system.
What?
She's like, you need to go clean the bathroom.
Was that Spanish?
mm-hmm.
It came through really clear, but I still couldn't understand if it was English or Spanish.
The crew tried in vain to arrange for some planes to fly by so that they could test the system. As no one could spare the planes at the time, they hit up a novel way to test the radar. One of the guys bought a bag of nickel balloons and then filled them with hydrogen, attached metal wires, and let them go. Catching the offshore breeze, the balloons had the desired effect of showing up on the screens, proving that the equipment was working. But after traveling a good distance offshore and to the south, the nightly onshore breeze started to push the balloons back towards the coastal cities. The coastal radars picked them up because they had metal wires, and searchlights swung automatically on the targets, looking on the screens as aircraft heading to the city.
Crazy.
And then they started firing, and the rest is history. End quote.
So that's his... Wait, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's a good theory. Yeah. Or that's a good...
I think it's a theory, yeah. Because it hasn't been verified.
Exactly. I guess, right? It would be a theory then.
Right. This seems to answer a lot of questions. It answers the different targets that were witnessed. It answers the silvery color that was seen. And it even seems to answer a bit about what was seen in the edited image. But, like I mentioned earlier, the military could not seem to agree on anything. The Navy said there was no evidence of the presence of enemy planes. Frank Knox, Secretary of the Navy, announced that the raid was a false alarm. The Army had a hard time making up its own mind.
Weird.
Yeah. The War Department advanced two theories that could be possible. These were mentioned earlier, but it's pretty crazy. The first one is commercial airplanes operated by an enemy from secret fields in California or Mexico, and the second would be light planes launched from submarines.
I've never heard of that before. Planes launched off of submarines.
I feel like the War Department was like your drunk uncle.
You know what I think it is?
It's the Illuminati. They're going to put microchips in you in the vaccine. Merca. Most of the reports were proven to be exaggerated greatly.
Yeah. You know, and that's unfortunately something that we find a lot when it comes to, like, you know, these kind of events, mm-hmm. and people that, you know, comment on them, is that it's just like with the Roswell incident and how, you know, oh, I saw two, what was it? Gray men. And then even with the one in Phoenix or in Arizona.
Yeah.
Where they saw some lady with a fire bush, you know? Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all.
Seems like so.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. So just a little bit more history. There's a record of a letter sent from President Roosevelt to the Secretary of War, Henry Stimson, and I'm just going to summarize it for you. Hmm. He's basically like, what the fuck was that?
Hey, I heard you guys were shooting something.
Bro, what's happening over there, bro?
I could totally hear him saying that. Texting over.
He's like, Brosef. That's how he talked, right?
Yeah, I heard it was lit, fam. I heard you were firing all types of rounds, he's bro.
It was all crazy. I seen that on the news. What happened, bro?
He sat down with his fireside chat and was like...
A la verga, that was all crazy. I like how FDR is from Albuquerque.
I know, right? He's from the valley.
Okay, so he asked who was responsible for the air alarm unit or the air alarm system in the U.S., and can anyone other than an authorized official of the U.S. Army order an air alarm? Mm. It seems that all the comments in reference to air alarms should be made exclusively by the appropriate officials of the department responsible. That was FDR. Army Chief of Staff George Marshall sent a report of the attack to President Roosevelt as well, from the details known on February 26th of 1942. Number one, unidentified planes other than American Army or Navy planes were probably over Los Angeles and were fired on. Number two, 15 planes may have been involved. Reports say very slow or as fast as 200 miles per hour at 9,000 to 18,000 feet. Number three, no bombs were dropped. Number four, no casualties amongst troops. Troops. Why did I say troops?
Troops. Ta-ta.
Number five, no planes were shot down. Number six, no American Army or Navy planes were in action. So basically,
it's all grounded.
We don't fucking know.
Yeah.
And no matter what happened, the fear was real. People in California were freaking out. They lived through that history. And I'd probably be freaking out too. Like, I freak out.
Do you imagine if that was happening outside?
Anyway.
Outside.
Yeah.
You know?
I freak out for no reason. So, yeah. paranoia, fear, it all increased. The mayor of L.A., Fletcher Bowron, went to D.C.
That's a name you can trust.
And I guarantee it.
Fletcher Bowron for mayor.
Went to D.C., who eventually gave in to pressure from citizens and enacted Executive Order 9102 on March 18th, 1942, and the order established the WRA relocation centers and internment of over 110,000 people of Japanese descent.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fucked up.
Yeah.
Not a proud moment in American history. From Pearl Harbor to aliens in the sky to internment camps, it's safe to say that the history of the U.S. is filled with a bunch of fucking confusion and fear and reactions to fear. Yay, America. But that is the story of the Battle of Los Angeles, February 1942.
Fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
Fantastic. Really, really good story. It's a very interesting piece of history.
Do you think that there were aliens there?
No, I really don't. Like I said before, I do believe in aliens, obviously. But I think that was, like you said, it was a combination of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It was the fear. Mm-hmm. It was the panic of Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. It was, also being attacked off of the coast. And, the interesting part is it sounds like most of the people were saying they saw planes.
Yeah.
They didn't, there was a few folks that were like, oh no, I saw a giant spaceship. But it sounds like most people were saying that they saw a ton of planes flying.
Right.
Now, that could that have been
hydrogen balloons?
Hydrogen balloons, potentially.
Maybe.
I don't know. Were those balloons shaped like planes?
Did they have lights?
Did they have lights on them? Did they all fly in a certain direction in a V shape? I mean, so, when certain people start saying something, it's like, well, maybe there's something to it. But at the same time, mass hysteria does have a lot to play with a lot of things when it comes to that.
It is real.
Right.
It is real.
Absolutely.
And I, literally will be the first person to sign up for the mass hysteria. Like, if it's happening, I'm there with you.
Jesus, this last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm there with you. I'm going to believe you and whatever you tell me. I live in that place.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can see how people would fall into that, especially with everything that was happening leading up to it. I really wanted it to be aliens. I always do. But I'm going to have to concede that I don't think it was. I think it was a panic. Number of things that led to panic.
Right. It was a straight panic.
Yeah.
And that was okay. We were vulnerable. We were very vulnerable at that time.
We were scared.
And we were just waiting for something else to happen.
That doesn't excuse any kind of genocide or internment camps. That is not okay ever, in my opinion.
No, absolutely.
So let's not do that again, please.
let's not.
Let's just don't do that. If you're listening, President Biden or whoever the fuck.
I don't think that's going to happen again, right? It can't, but he could easily.
It could.
I feel like it could.
It could happen.
Right? You just get the right person in power and enough fear behind things, and slash who knows wrong. What could happen.
Yeah. Slash wrong person in power. Yeah, got it. With you. I don't think it's aliens, and I'm sad about it.
Womp, womp, womp.
It's just your regular bummer. Dos Pequeños ruining the fun. We're a wet blanket for you.
Fuck, man. We really got to start finding some things.
We are wet blankets.
That we can't, talk shit about.
I know.
And I think I have a couple coming up here that it's going to be somewhat similar to that. I'm getting away from cryptids and aliens for a little bit, so stay tuned. The next one's going to be good.
I'm excited. We're going to have a special guest, I think, next month, though.
Shut up. Who?
Our friend Jackie.
Oh, word up. Right on.
Jackie's going to tell us some crazy-ass shit.
Ah, that'll be a fun show.
That'll be fun.
I promise I won't talk over people.
So, don't promise things you can't deliver on.
Hey, man, I try.
You're getting better. Actually, you did really good this time.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. Jackie hosts two really good podcasts, and one of them is becoming my favorite podcast. Cause of Death is so good, man. If you're not listening to that show, you need to listen to it. It is really good. I'm so proud because I feel like she's a little bit of a protege from me. I've kind of helped her along the way and given her some advice.
I haven't done shit.
You haven't. You've helped provide this shit show for her. But she's doing so good. She's killing it. She knows what the fuck she's talking about with microbiology. And
Yeah, she's wicked smart.
It's so edutaining.
Edutaining, that's nice.
Yeah, like you're learning, but you're being entertained in a way.
We've got a bunch of friends doing some really great podcasts right now.
Yeah, we've got It Ain't About Us, which is all about dating in New Mexico.
All sick.
What's up, Cassie and Felicia? I seen you. They're really good. They just covered the Dion scandal.
Dude, okay. I need to catch up on that because I have no fucking clue what's going on.
And my kid works there now.
Ah.
So I'm like, Jesus, here we go. Yeah, tons of good shows. 10 Drink Minimum, of course. We've got Kurt Fletcher in the Ride, Dad, I Need to Pee. You know, no longer part of the But LS Podcasters Guild, but still really awesome local shows. Fat Guy Eats. Matt, dude, is killing it. Love his show. Fables, Fairy Tales, and Fails.
Yeah, and I think we might be working on something.
We might be covering something with her as well.
Right,
that's a good show. It's all about, like, the dark side of fables and fairy tales.
Oh, and there's so many dark sides.
It's real fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
All of it's fucked up, and it's such a good idea for a show. Yeah, bunch of cool stuff happening in New Mexico, so check out some local shows. Listen local. And, of course, if you're not listening to True Consequences...
You don't need it.
It's fine. Enough people are listening to it.
I don't know. It's like the true crime shit. And
it's super popular.
It's kind of getting old, right?
It's not getting old for
me.
No. It is the big thing in podcasting, you know?
I guess so, yeah.
It is.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. If you fucking tell your friends about us, we'll get there.
Right.
Listener.
Mr. Listener.
We're so Mr.
We're like 24 in Finland.
We are?
Yeah.
Nice. I didn't even know.
You sent me a picture of it. So.
Oh, yeah. No, that was True Consequences. I sent you the picture of the review.
Oh, was that for TC?
Yeah.
Fuck you then. Send us reviews. Tell us what you think of our shit show.
Yeah. Well, we got one. Thank you. Oh, we got to say thank you to that person. Hold on. Stand by, please.
Yeah, we got time. Whatever.
Thank you so much to KDubs82. They said, love this podcast. Keep it up, you two.
KDubs.
Also, Jackie Moore, you guys know I love you. Awesome and funny show. Danny Says 13, most excellent podcast on the paranormal. La Llorona still scares the poop out of me. Where have y'all been all my life?
We've been right here.
Right here, waiting for you. GMarhee143 said, all spooky. I really enjoy these stories, and you guys are also hilarious. Makes me laugh and freak out at the same time. Thank you for the entertainment. Blessings to you, and also to you, Marhee143. And Zombie Dictator. Wonderful. This podcast is so much fun. The hosts are easy to listen to and the content is interesting. I'm always excited when a new episode drops.
I haven't heard any of these. That makes me so happy.
Yay.
I'm glad you guys are enjoying our shit show.
We love you back. Okay, so we got to figure out the camping trip. We cannot.
Oh, yes.
We cannot go to Old Main, unfortunately. Yeah. But let's figure out the camping trip. We'll find out what we're going to do. We might have to wait till next spring. Maybe.
For what? The camping trip?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean,
because it's going to get cold
fine.
Real fast.
That's fine. We're already, I mean, as I look at it now, we're already coming up on, you know, September.
Yeah.
By then, it's already getting pretty cold.
Yeah.
If we can plan it and have enough time to get people involved and get, you know, kind of like a good group together, then we'll make it happen.
Okay. I'm down. Well, we've already heard from a lot of listeners that they want to come to the camping trip.
So. Yeah. So if you're interested, there'll be more details about that later.
Yeah. We're going to shoot for next spring, I think.
Maybe some people don't know what we're talking about. We're going to go camping as a group.
Holy Ghost Campground.
At the Holy Ghost Campground, which is the most haunted campground in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
We'll have to
do a live episode about it.
That's
when
what I was
we're
saying.
There.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That'd be fucking rad.
Yep.
Okay. All right. We are done.
We're done.
The end. We love you. Don't forget to support us either financially or through telling your friends about us or giving us a review.
Or stories
or whatever.
Ideas.
Yeah. Whatever. We're down. So
hugs. That's 6 feet. Fuck.
Yeah, with a mask. Stay
with
back.
Mask.
Stand back.
Get vaccinated.
Get vaxxed and waxed. Or don't.
That's a personal preference.
That's your choice. Okay. All right. Now, Alex.
Stay spooky.
Peace. Hey, Alex.
Hey.
Hey, I want to take a moment to thank some people that are making this shit show possible.
Please.
Okay. We always thank our patrons, which we're not saying that we're not thanking them right now, but we're thanking the people that are helping make this show possible. So this episode was written by JT Hosack. JT is the co-host of Brew Crime. He's awesome. Thank you, JT, for writing this episode. And it's also edited by who?
I don't know who.
Kylon Dean.
Oh, shit.
And it's
by Kylon Dean.
By Kylon Dean, my son. Thank you, Kai.
I'm sorry. You caught me so off guard. I wasn't ready.
Thank you, Kai, for editing this shit show and for making us sound professional.
You do a great job, buddy.
Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.